Hello and welcome into The Scraby Show, October 16th, 2024. I am Matt Scraby. You could watch the show if you would like. You just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. We're also on X at Matt Scraby and on 97.3 The Fan's Twitch as well. So you can watch it in several different places. You can also listen on the Odyssey app if you're in your car and you're like, wait, I want to go inside, but I want to listen. Just pull up the Odyssey app and search for 97.3 The Fan. Currently, the Dodgers and the Mets are playing, as everybody knows here in the NLCS, Game 3. It's the top of the third inning. Dodgers lead 2-0. Luis Severino struggling a little bit here. He's got no outs, but two on. He just walked Shohei Ohtani, and he just walked Mookie Betts. And there's going to be a pitching coach heading out to talk with Luis Severino. But I can't get into this series for many reasons, and I know everybody here is probably thinking about the same reason, which is it's hard to watch this series without the Padres in it, and it's really unfortunate that the Padres are not in it. But with that said, we are going to do at 6:20-ish, we're going to do Padres therapy. And so we can kind of exercise the demons of the Padres season, and we can move forward, and we can look ahead to 2025. Now, I'm not telling anyone that they have to stop being sad about the Padres season. I understand, but we are coming up on a week, and I think it's time for the healing to begin. So we will do some Padres therapy in a little bit. Also, I wanted to talk about this article in The Athletic that I read earlier. We talked about sports betting during Gwynn and Chris and the Big Five, and how Adam Silver says he has no regrets for saying that he was going to push, or he has no regrets in writing an op-ed 10 years ago saying that sports betting needs to be a more easily accessible thing. But The Athletic caught up with someone who recently, like this or earlier this year, was struggling with sports betting. And it was a really long article, but this person is a representative, I think, of a lot of sports fans out there. You may not think that you're going to get addicted to betting, and then all of a sudden you do. So I wanted to talk a little bit about like the psychology of sports betting and what is happening out there. I think it's really important because I don't necessarily think that people need to stop betting. And we said this earlier. There are people that are able to drink normally and responsibly, and that's fine. I'm not trying to ban alcohol or anything like that because I don't drink anymore. If you're listening to the show for the first time, I'm coming up on 8 years without a drink. And I know that other people out there are able to drink responsibly. And it's the same thing with betting responsibly. I would actually consider myself a responsible bettor. I'm not betting big dollar amounts. If anything, I'm betting like, you know, $10 at a time. But I also know that those $10 bets can turn into $50 bets, can turn into $100 bets. Turn into, you know, $1,000 bets. But we'll get into that at the end of the show because I do think it's interesting, and I do think that some people may not be aware of the warning signs for someone who's falling into a sports betting problem, and we'll talk about that. But one of the questions I got this morning on a text message, I woke up to a text message, and it was another question, and again, I am aware that people are still struggling with the Padres season ending way too early. And I agree it ended way too early. But I get a lot of text messages from people saying, well, why did this happen? And the answer why is something that I can't explain. No one can explain why this happened to the Padres in the postseason. And I do know that there is one aspect of a postseason, or at least playing in a postseason, that will 100% help these players going forward. And so, again, I'm going to throw out the negatives, and I'm going to look at the positives. And it's in the playoffs, everything is different for these guys. During the regular season, it's pretty much for the most part the same. You're a traveling circus. You're going from city to city. You're playing games every single day. But in the postseason, you have different responsibilities that you need to do as a player in regards to the media. You have different times that you're doing things. Games are at an interesting time, like 5 o'clock instead of 6:40. So you may think, well, who cares about all of that? It's honestly, I think it's much harder for us to think about that. It's much harder for us to recognize what a playoff run does to a team. And obviously, there are teams that can weather the storm. But I do think it takes a while for these teams to weather the storm. And I guess I'll use my radio job as an experience, and you can, or as an example. And you can also sit there and look at your own job and kind of put yourself in it too. Because I was thinking, like, is it just as easy as just to continue to play baseball like these guys have? And when you think about it, these guys are having to do media every single day. These guys are having to do all of their work, pregame work, at, you know, different times than they're used to. They may have to adjust things, which is always fine and everything. But for example, I'll use my radio job. And I know I'm not a major league player, but every time we do an on-location broadcast for the first time, I get a little nervous about doing it for the first time just because I really don't know what to expect. Can I have my laptop to the right of me or the left of me? Do I need a power strip? Where are we sitting? Do I need an umbrella because the sun's going to be out? Are we going to have the webcam? Where is that going to go? Where's the cord going to go for the webcam? Where's the computer for the webcam? All of this stuff. Obviously, you know, these are all specific to radio, but I know that I feel so much better going back the next time we broadcast at a certain place because I know what to expect. Like Baja Rick's Cantina. The first time we went there, was not sure what to expect from Baja Rick's Cantina, but everything worked out. And everything was fine. I will say the first day, I was a little out of my element. But when we went back, I knew what to expect. I knew, you know, the route to walk. It's simple things like that. Everybody is a creature of habit. Everybody is someone who is, you know, has their routine. So think about yourself being taken out of your routine and think about how much that kind of throws you off. And it's similar to the playoffs for the baseball players. I really do think that the guys with the limited playoff experience for the Padres, I do think that maybe it was a little bit of an eye-opener for them. And these are all thoughts coming 5 days. What is it? Yeah, 5 days since the Padres lost. So I'm obviously really, really trying to figure out what the heck happened to this team. But I do think that some of the guys with limited playoff experience, limited postseason at-bats, I do think it was a lot different for them. But with that said, going forward, just like I said about the radio broadcasts, is they're going to know what to expect for next time. They're going to know what they need to do to get the job done. Now, can they get the job done? That is what we'll see in a few years. Or not a few years. We'll see in a year. I fully believe that they're going to get better. And we've seen teams year after year get close to winning a championship, maybe fall short year after year, and then finally break through. And I completely hope I hope that everyone who was with the Padres this season really soaked in that postseason experience, and they're going to know what to expect the next time. So it's not easy. I mean, these guys are professional baseball players. They make a ton of money, all of that. But still, when you get taken out of your routine and when you're forced to do something different and you're a creature of habit like baseball players are, it changes things. Now, it shouldn't make you not score a run for 24 innings. I don't think that should be the result of playing in the playoffs for the first time. But I do think going forward, it will be a good thing for everybody. All right, let's go and let's do a roll call. We got Katrina, we got Gonzo, we got Dan, we got Podzilla, we got Castro, we got another Nate, we got Dave, we got Jacob, EC Money, Dominic, Patrick, and Annie. We got all of this. Maddie B is here as well. I think Maddie B is in the Scraby show. YouTube instead of the 97.3 The Fan YouTube. If you're trying to get into the community, I'm sorry, but you do have to go to 97.3 The Fan's YouTube. So go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. We got Leonard, we got Rod, we got Brandon, and I know I'm forgetting Jax is here as well. So I know what you're... I know I'm missing someone out there. Brandon says, I mean, look at Baltimore. It might take multiple years of coming up short. I feel like the Padres have had a better playoff run here than the Baltimore Orioles. They haven't won a game in the last 2 years. They have not won a game in the postseason in the last 2 years. And I think the Baltimore Orioles are a pretty good team. And, you know, I would feel a lot worse if I was an Orioles fan right now. Dan says, Scrapes, that is so spot on. You don't even know. Maybe I think it was about my radio life conversation and being put in different routines and all of that stuff. Patrick and Annie, Scrapes, we met you briefly on Tuesday at the Padres game late when we were going to your seat, when you were going to your seats, and my dumbass tried to shake your hand. Do not say that. Do not say you're a dumbass for trying to shake my hand. I probably acted really awkward and I probably acted really crazy. So I feel, you know, after those interactions that I have with people, I really do sometimes feel like, oh my goodness, I just made a complete fool of myself because I am awkward. So if you ever meet me and I'm awkward, just know that you're getting the real true 100%, you're getting the real true 100% reaction from Matt Scraby. Now, going back to the NLCS for a second, the Mets are at bat. Mookie Betts tried to make a play on a ball in right field. He dove, went off the end of his glove, and it was ruled not a catch. So Mets have a runner on, bottom of the third inning. Dodgers lead 2-0, no outs. We'll keep you up to date on that. Dominic says, yeah, you were a little awkward when I met you. Yes, I'm telling you. Patrick and Annie, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. We did an elbow bump. Yes, I was coming back from the bathroom. And if I'm coming back from the bathroom, I just washed my hands. I don't like to shake people's hands, so I do the elbow bump. I totally know what you're talking about here. Dominic says, I was a little awkward when I met you. I'm an awkward human being. I am an awkward human being. That's just one of the things that I am, and you will always get from me, is the awkwardness. Ken Duncan says, love you, Scraby. How's that shoulder? Thank you, Ken. The shoulder I had surgery on in June, and it's the range of motion is good. Range of motion is good. It still hurts. I got to tell you, it still does not feel great at times. When I wake up, it really hurts. I'm still doing my physical therapy and everything, but my shoulder is moving along a little bit slower than I really wanted it to. They said I would be back to golf in August. I am not back to golf. I'm going to actually go and try to hit some golf balls really soon, and maybe this weekend, but I'm not sure about it. But thank you for asking about my shoulder. Thank you very, very much. Brandon says, I met Scraby at 5 a.m. at a casino. Not what it sounds like. We're not degenerate gamblers, I promise. We were at 7 Mile Casino for the Padres' first game in Korea. I still can't believe that was. That seems like forever ago, but it seems like yesterday at the same time. And I realized in that moment I was not a young person anymore because that ruined my sleep schedule for a whole week. And I'm not joking. Sean says, what is Scraby short for? Scraby's short for nothing. Scraby is my last name. S-K-R-A-B as in boy, Y. Shall I tell everyone right now? I guess I will. When my grandparents, my great-great-grandparents came over from Lithuania, they came to the United States back in like the teens and the 20s. And their name was Screbus. And so my grandpa wanted to sound more American, and so he changed it to Scraby, S-K-R-A-B as in boy, Y. And no one really needs to get on Sean's case for this. People don't know my last name. It's very strange. People pronounced it many different ways, spelled it many different ways. Anyway, I'm just rambling at this time, right now for a couple minutes. I need to save those minutes because we have Padres therapy coming up in the next segment. Mets are still trying to do something here. Bottom of the third, two outs. We'll keep you up to date on that. But when we get back, we're going to break out the therapy couch and we're going to try and talk about our feelings with the Padres here on 97.3 The Fan. Back here in the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan, Matt Scraby, The Scraby Show, or The Chronicles, or whatever you want to call it. I'm going to keep saying this because I do get questions about this. How do you become a Scrabinator? You don't need to do anything other than listen to The Scraby Show and be a good person and, you know, not come in here and just say a bunch of crazy things in the chat. That's how you become a Scrabinator. Also, tell someone about it. Tell someone that you you can refer someone to be a Scrabinator. There's no money or anything like that. There's no actual, like, piece of paper that you need. You can call yourself a Scrabinator. If you listen to the show and you're a good person, basically, those are the two rules. Now, if you are, have you ever watched the show on YouTube? And if you are in your car right now and you're not able to watch on YouTube, maybe you could watch it a little bit later. But I have been doing these things during commercial breaks where I've been putting up me playing video games on my phone. I record the game, and then I put it up during the commercial break. Well, I'm going to try to do more and more of this. So next break, and again, if you're in your car, I'm sorry. You can go check this out later. Just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan, go to The Scraby Show. But I am going to put up I played a tech mobile type game on my phone, and I'm going to put up the game, and everybody gets to watch it in the break. But I will just say, I am not good. I am not good at it, at this game yet. And I could have recorded and then threw away all the ones where I wasn't good, or I could have just recorded and used the ones where I threw five interceptions in the game. So everybody will be able to see that here in the next break, next commercial break. And I'm going to try to do that as we go along. All right, so let's get the Padres therapy going. I saw Jacob said he was face up on his couch with tissues on the coffee table. I hope no one cries here, but let's get our therapy music. Okay, all right. This is nice, everybody. This is very nice. I feel good right now. I feel powerful. I feel like I can make it through the Padres losing too early in their season. So here's how this works. And this is an actual therapy thing that I use. My therapist, she's very excited that I'm doing this on the show. She's a Padres fan, so she's probably listening in or going to be watching later. But I give a negative, and then I have to give some positives to replace the negative. This is how I stopped drinking, everybody. This is how I got back on track. So if you're... this also, honestly, 100% no jokes, this is also something that you can use in your own life every single day. Here's the first negative. The Padres couldn't hit when it mattered, which is a huge negative because it ended their season, if we're being honest. But this is therapy, so I cannot go down that road. The positives to replace with for this one, the first positive. This season produced the first batting title for the Padres since 1997. Luis Arraez won it for the third year in a row with a 314 average this year. So that's pretty good. That's a good positive. Padres produced a batting title for the first time since 1997. The Padres also, for the entire regular season, tied with the Diamondbacks for the number one team batting average in the league at .263. Last season, the Padres were the 20th best team in regards to batting average around the league in the regular season. So they went from 20th to number one. And they were second in baseball in team batting average with late and close situations, meaning they were pretty good when their backs were against the wall. And I know this doesn't really make sense because they weren't good with their backs against the wall in the playoffs, but throughout the regular season, they were very, very good. And number one in team batting average in the league at .263, tied with the Diamondbacks, pretty good. So there are three positives for the one negative of the Padres couldn't hit when it mattered. Now we move on to Dylan Cease. And I just saw in the chat, Luis Arraez got surgery today. We will talk about that. Dylan Cease, here's the negative. Dylan Cease was not great in the playoffs. He had a 14.40 ERA in 5 innings across 2 games, and he was 0-1. Here are a bunch of positives about Dylan Cease for all you people that don't want him on the team back or on back on the team next year. First positive, Dylan Cease now has back-to-back years with 33 games started in the last 4 seasons. Dylan Cease has started 32, 32, 33, and 33 games. Now, where does that rank, you may ask? Because that's a lot of games started. No one really does that anymore. Since 2021, Dylan Cease has made the most starts in baseball with 130. Aaron Nola of the Phillies is in second at 129. He's one of 8 pitchers in 2024 to make 33 starts. And we say this on the show quite often. Your best ability is your availability. And Dylan Cease is always available. He is always available. The last 4 seasons, he's basically made every single start that he was asked to make. So that's durability right there. And if I'm Dylan Cease's agent, that's my selling point. You're going to have me every single game of the year because that's what I do. I'm a workhorse. So I already said the positive of he started the most starts of baseball with 130 since 2021. He's one of 8 pitchers in 2024 to make 33 starts. He's also third in baseball this season in 2024 season with 224 strikeouts. The only 2 players that were ahead of Dylan Cease in strikeouts this season, Tarek Skubal of the Tigers and Chris Sale of the Braves were the only 2 that had more strikeouts. If Dylan Cease would have had 5 more strikeouts throughout the year, he would have been number 1. And not to mention that Dylan Cease is third to the 2 guys that are likely to win the Cy Young in each league. Tarek Skubal for the Tigers in the AL and Chris Sale for the Braves in the NL. So he's third on that. Oh, yeah. He threw a no-hitter against the Nationals for the 2nd no-hitter in franchise history. I think that's pretty good as well. And the final thing for Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease is the first Major League Baseball pitcher in the modern era to have at least 8 strikeouts while also not allowing more than 1 hit in 3 consecutive starts. So Dylan Cease did not have a great postseason. Like, honestly, it was awful. And it wasn't what I thought he was going to do. But if you look at Dylan Cease through the regular season, there's ups, there's downs. But in the end, he's going to play a ton of games and he's going to strike out a ton of guys. And for the most part, he's going to get the job done. So there is my positives about a negative Dylan Cease. Now, Jackson Merrill, how can we say anything negative about him? Well, Jackson Merrill did hit 176, only had 3 RBIs, and had an OPS of 653 in the NLDS against the Dodgers. Against the Braves, he had a triple. I believe he had a home run. I'm not sure about the home run, so let's strike that from the record. But I do know against the Braves, Jackson Merrill was all over the place. Against the Dodgers, he did not do his best work that we've seen so far this season. Jackson Merrill is, we all know what he did all season long. We saw the walk-off home runs. We saw the game-tying home runs. We saw a lot of different things from Jackson Merrill. We saw him playing center field at a high level after never playing center field in his entire life. But the one that I think, you know, really shot us into the stratosphere of Jackson Merrill is legit is when this stat came out. I mean, he did this, but this stat. The Padres' Jackson Merrill is the youngest player in Major League Baseball history to record a multi-home run game, including a walk-off home run. That was June 12th. That was against the A's. I remember this because I had my shoulder surgery and I had a scrabie show. So when I make fun of players for not playing, just remember, I had surgery on June 10th. I was back on the show June 11th. Let's keep going with the therapy. I haven't been looking at the chat, so I don't know how this is going out there, but I think I'm feeling good about it. Here's my last major one. The Padres, this is the negative. The Padres didn't have anyone who was a Gold Glover. You know, if you think about it this year, the Padres really overstepped expectations with what they did this season. No one thought they were going to win 93 games. And they had a lot of their players missing at certain points throughout the year. No one was nominated for a gold glove for the Padres because besides Jackson Merrill and Jerickson Profar, there just wasn't enough consistency in guys being available to start on a day-in, day-out basis. Listen to all the guys that the Padres lost this year and still won 93 games. They lost Fernando Tatis Jr. for an extended period of time. They lost Xander Bogaerts for an extended period of time. I know some people might say that Xander Bogaerts doesn't really make a difference for this team. I will firmly disagree with you on the defensive side. Xander Bogaerts, you know, I hope that he goes back this offseason and does a lot of ground ball work, because there were a few balls at the end of the year that he, you know, kicked, booted, whatever they want to call it, go through his legs. But I do think that Xander Bogaerts is very important defensively, and especially now that it's looking like most likely Ha-Seong Kim is going to be going to another team. So Xander Bogaerts got hurt for a while. Ha-Seong Kim, we just talked about him. He was hurt for quite a while here to end the season. Then you have Joe Musgrove, not only talking about what happened to him against the Braves in the wildcard series, but earlier in the year he had to take a ton of time off because there was something not right with him. And they made it work with guys like Matt Waldron. They made it work with other pitchers. They made it work with their bullpen. They made it work with their closer. And they were able to win 93 games. And finally, the next big player, I mean, we could say Manny. Manny was basically there the entire year. He was playing through injury the entire season. But they were missing Yu Darvish for most of this season. And again, we know that Yu Darvish had to step away because of something personal to him. And again, I don't really care what it was that he had to step away for, but Yu Darvish did step away from the team for quite a while, and he ended up coming back at the end of the year. But this regular season for the Padres was really, really, really good. 93 wins is much more than many people thought. All of the stuff that happened in the second half, the comebacks, the miraculous wins, just everything that we cheered for all summer long was really good stuff. And even though they did not come through in the playoffs as we had all hoped, even though we are now sitting here doing Padres therapy instead of watching the NLCS with the Padres in New York, they still had a season to remember. And in the end, this is all going to be good for this team. It's baby steps towards the goal of a championship. Would I have wanted the championship this year? Of course I would have wanted the championship, but the closer you get, the more you experience this, the better it feels when you end up getting that big win in the end. So there you go, Padres therapy. Hopefully everybody liked it. Hopefully you all are feeling a little bit better about the season and how it ended and all that stuff. And we'll have to do this again next season. Maybe we'll be doing some therapy throughout the off season, but mainly I like to do this for the Padres. All right, you're listening to The Scraby Show. This is 97.3 The Fan. I am Matt Scraby. When we get back, I'm going to talk about the gambling addiction article that I found, and I also have a daily gripe. So stick right there. If you're on the YouTube chat, I'm about to show you the game, the football game that I played, and if you're in your car, go search YouTube, 97.3 The Fan, The Scraby Show. You'll be able to see it. Just go about 35 minutes into the broadcast. But we'll be back shortly here on 97.3 The Fan. Welcome back into the Odyssey Palace, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Matt Scraby, The Scraby Show. One more segment to go. I just debuted my football game commercial on the YouTube stream. Again, if you would like to watch it later, you can. YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. Go to The Scraby Show, and you will be able to see it around the 40-minute mark. It was like one of those... It's not Tecmo Bowl on my phone, but it's like somewhat similar to Tecmo Bowl. It looks like Tecmo Bowl, but I just started playing it like a couple days ago, and I'm really bad at it. I think I threw 6 interceptions in that game that everybody just watched. It was really terrible. But anyway, I'm really trying to figure out different ways to keep people entertained on the YouTube stream. Mets Dodgers, top of the fifth, two outs. Dodgers still leading 2-0. Severino still pitching for the Mets. Nothing is happening there right now. In the WNBA Finals, it's in the fourth quarter, and Minnesota is beating New York 64-63, and now Minnesota is beating them 66-63. Series, a best-of-five series tied 1-1. All right, I feel like I've been a little serious today. Actually, I wanted to get a comment real quick before I moved on, because we were just doing Padres therapy, and someone wrote something that I cannot find right now, but someone wrote something and I wanted to address it because, there's two things I want to address. Podzilla said, some of us, because of circumstances, were forced to move on immediately after. Life comes in hot, y'all. And I really agree with that. I mean, sometimes sports are not the most important part of, you know, life. You got to be able to put that into perspective. Sergio said, I think I'd feel better about the series loss if we lost 6-5 or something similar. But last two games, we rolled over. Now, yes, that is, you know, it would feel better if... Hey, would it feel better, though? I keep going back and forth on this in my head. Like, would I feel better if they were to lose a heartbreaker in Game 5? Or would I feel better and I'm able to go on easier if they did what they did, which is not score a run for 24 straight innings? Now, it's a slow burn with the 24 straight innings without a run. Slow, slow, slow burn. But I don't know that it would be easier to have a heartbreak loss. I really don't think that would be easier, because in the end, in my mind at least, I can point to the fact that the Padres were not the better team in that series. As hard as it is to say, they were not the better team against the Dodgers. And I think it's a little bit easier for me to stomach that, knowing that they weren't that team all season long. Now, if they were to say, you know, lose on a walk-off home run or something like that in Game 5, I think that would hurt much, much, much more, because really you knew that the Padres were still right there. And I feel like if they were to make it to the NLCS, it probably would have reset the bats. Who knows? I mean, how can I actually say that? Because we saw what happened in the two games. Nothing happened at the plate in the two games. But I think it would be way harder to have a heartbreaking loss over a loss where I could feel it coming the entire game. Like, after the first couple innings on last Friday, Game 5, I was like, uh-oh, this does not feel good. This team does not seem like the same team. But if it was the same team and they were rallying and they tied it up in the top of the ninth and it's 5-5 and their season continues and then the Dodgers come out and walk it off somehow, I think that would be much, much more hard to handle. Patrick and Annie said, it's the immediacy that shocks you. Yes, it was immediate, because it was like almost, man, this season's over. I can't actually believe it's over. But in a heartbreaking loss, your season is going to continue in your head until the other team walks it off. And I think that's harder to deal with, at least for me. I know everybody's different, but at least for me, it's harder to take when it's a heartbreaking loss. I could muster up in my head for the final 9 innings of the season that things weren't going well, and I could kind of prepare myself for the inevitable, which actually happened when Fernando grounded out to end the Padres' season. All right. The article that I saw about, it's called I Literally Can't Stop: The Descent of a Modern Sports Fan. It's in The Athletic, so you can go and you can read this. But I'm going to start like this, and I hate getting preachy, but I do think it makes sense for some people. But addiction is addiction, and we've talked about sports gambling so many times on the Scraby Show, on Gwen and Chris, but the psychology of sports betting is something I think we can actually really get into, because it might help someone. And in the article, they were saying there was a researcher that they were quoting, and the researchers say that sports betting is a familiar playbook to something that we've all taken part in. I think we all have, which is slot machines. Because there is a psychology to a slot machine in Vegas and wherever slot machines are. But it's the sounds, it's the lights, it's the environment around the slot machine. But when slot machine designers are creating these things, they want you to stay for as long as possible. And so you're going to get small wins that keep you there, and then you're going to get, you know, then you're going to lose a lot of money, and then you're going to get small wins. Uh-oh, it's turning around. I got to stay here. I got to keep putting money in because I know that jackpot's going to hit. And it's just like a push and pull type thing with slot machines. And if you look at the sports wagering apps, that's what they're calling them, sports wagering, but I'll call them sports betting apps. They use similar tactics in these apps to trick your brain into thinking, I need to put more money down on this, or I'm actually not losing any money, so what does it matter? Like, I know that sometimes I get emails saying that I could sign up for a sports betting website and I'll get $200 free of betting. You know, that's pretty enticing, honestly. But really, in the end, it's really hard to get cash out of that money. And then so what you're doing is you're getting in and you're betting money. And then you're like, oh gosh, I lost. So I need to use my money now. And so now I'm going to bet double to try to make up for what I lost with the free money. And now I'm losing a bunch of money and it just keeps snowballing and snowballing and snowballing. So the sports betting apps use in-game betting as something like that, because if you bet on a game like, say, you bet on first to score in a game, in a baseball game. I like that bet. First to score. And you lose the bet immediately. Just like that. You're out. Then, in-game betting allows you to keep doubling down and keep trying to win your money back. So, hey, I'm smart. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to be able to win my money back. And I'm going to keep playing. So I'm going to in-game bet. And I'm going to make these rash decisions really quick without really even thinking about it, because I need to do it now or else those odds are gone. So they use in-game betting as a ruse. They use parlays as a ruse. I know I like my parlays, but they also use the free bonuses. Like I mentioned, with the $200, or sign up with a friend and you get $100 each or something like that. These are all tactics to get your brain to think, I need to keep doing this because it's giving you endorphins, it's making you happier, until you realize that you're not happy anymore. But the person that was a feature in this article is almost, to me, a textbook, I don't want to say addict because addict gives different vibes, but they're a textbook, they're someone with an addiction, textbook addiction. And so this person started betting in sports early on at casinos. And so then they lost a bunch of money and then they stopped. And they stopped betting for a really long time. And then all the sports betting apps have popped up. And he was trying to stay away from the sports betting apps. And then, you know, one of his friends said, hey, if you sign up with my name, I'm going to get $100 and you're going to get $100 and you can start betting. And then he was sitting with his friend and his friend showed him the bets. And then he downloaded the app and then he put $10 on a bet. And then he realized he lost that bet. So he put $20 on another bet. He won that bet. So he won his money back plus a little bit, and he was hooked. And really, addiction is a spiral, and it goes for anything that people are addicted to. For me, here's my spiral. And if you're out there and you're listening and you hear this and you're like, hey, that kind of sounds like me, maybe you should listen a little bit more, or maybe you should think a little bit more about what's going on. I'm not saying you should, but if you identify with it, listen to it. That's how it got me out of my spiral. But for me, it was drinking with friends and only drinking beer with my friends. You know, normal. I was a normal 21-year-old. And then it was drinking with friends, and it was beer and liquor when I was drinking with friends. Then it was drinking beer before I actually went out to drink with the friends. Then it was drinking liquor before I went out with my friends to drink more. Then it was beer and liquor before going out with friends. And before I knew it, it was the entire booze cabinet, and I was going days at a time without seeing or talking to anyone. Now, that is a timeline of... That's a timeline of maybe... 5-6 years all packed into like 30 seconds of me saying it. But I do think that it, when you start going down the road of trying to make money off your bets and you're betting more, you're betting double, you got a system, you know what you're doing, you're starting to bet on, I think this guy in the article was betting on Korean basketball games because he was trying to win his money back and he wasn't doing his research and all of this other stuff. But I do think in the end that it is, because we said this on the show, it's on the actual person to not let themselves get into that trouble with money and all of it spiraling and a lot of money going down the drain. And then you're taking out loans and then you got $0 in your bank account and you're putting loans on top of loans. But I do think that people can sport bet responsibly. I don't think that I don't think that some people should do sports betting. Like for me, I am a recovering alcoholic. If you drink responsibly, I do think you should be able to drink alcohol. But some people can't drink responsibly. I'm one of those, and I cannot drink anymore. That is my problem, no one else's problem. I don't need to take away someone else's fun because I couldn't handle my own fun or I couldn't handle my own alcohol. And it's the same with sports betting. Some people just can't bet responsibly. Those people need to realize that they should not bet. But I will say, betting companies need to be better. They need to take a more serious look at what they're doing to people and what they're doing to families. And again, in the end, it's all on that person. But I do think that sports betting companies and casinos and all that do have a hand in creating addictions, creating gambling addictions. And I think that they need to be better. They need to realize that what they do is very serious. And instead of cashing paychecks, I think they should probably, you know, maybe care about their customers a little bit. I know that they were being accused, some of these sports betting companies were being accused of putting up certain ads in college areas that appeal to college, people without money that are going to college. So it's all about the free money, and you get in and then you realize that you're $500 in the hole, you're $1,000 in the hole. So all of that is what I'm talking about. And people who are going down that road need to realize that this is very serious. And sports betting companies could do a much better job of helping people get steered in the right direction. And I do not think mentioning a phone number at the end of an ad, 1-800-GAMBLER or whatever, although it's something, I don't think that's doing enough. I really don't. I think there needs to be more education on all of that. All right, here we go.
What's annoying Scraby today? Let's find out. It's time for the Daily Gripe.
Brock says it's everywhere. Every ad, every sponsorship, it's getting worse and worse. And I agree with you, Brock. It is getting worse and worse, and it's not good. It's not good at all. It's like the alcohol companies, you know? They make drinking look pretty fun, but then you end up like me, and you're passed out 8 p.m. on a Friday night by yourself. All right, my daily gripe for today is pushy salespeople. And here's what I mean. So I'm not going to mention which car dealership I was at, but I was at a car dealership in the last 6 months. I've been holding on to this one. But this salesperson, I was just coming in for my first or second checkup on the car kind of thing. Tune-up, I guess is what they call it. Not a checkup, a tune-up. And so I was sitting down with this guy. And he kept trying to sell me on these packages that were like, hey, if you get this package, then you will never have to pay for a windshield wiper in your life. If you get this package, you'll never have to pay for brake pads in your life. And at the time, I was like, no, I just spent a bunch of money buying a new car for the first time in my entire life. So I'm just concerned about making the payment rather than getting all these free things. But this person kept pushing. Oh, you sure? You sure? You sure? Yes, I'm sure. So if you're a salesperson out there and you're a pushy salesperson, that's my gripe. Don't be so pushy. I would much rather buy from someone who tried to sell it to me for 10 seconds and then I said no and they moved on, because maybe I'll think, oh, well, maybe I do need that. But when you're pushy and you keep trying to get me to spend money, I'm going to lock in on not spending money. pushy salespeople are the subject of my daily gripe for today. Thank you to everybody for listening. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. I hope everybody enjoyed my rants about sports betting. Hope you enjoyed Padres therapy. Quinn and Chris will be back tomorrow. Scraby Show back on Friday here on 97.3 The Fan. Good night, everybody.